For November. Welcome to our CMPO meeting for November 15th, and we're grateful to have each of you here with us. You have the agenda before you. The only change I would recommend making to the agenda is that simply offer a welcome, and rather than going around the room to introduce each person, because we met with this body just a couple weeks ago, and I think know each other reasonably well, that we can dispense that. So I entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll make a motion.
Motion from Mayor Wheeler, a second. From Mayor Danes, thank you, Holly. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries. You have minutes in your packet from our previous meeting. Are there any changes or alterations to the minutes proposed? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved. And then you have the expenses before you in the packet as well. Any questions or clarifications on the expense report? If there are none, I'd entertain a motion to approve them as presented.
Make a motion we approve the expenses through November 8th.
Okay. We have a motion from Mayor Drew. Oh, second from I think David beat you by a hair. Sorry, Mayor Bailey.
You can have
quick on the trigger. second for David Zook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Expense approval is there. Next, last time that we met, I had shared out a draft job description for the executive director position. However, and it was not listed as an agenda item for that meeting, which is my lapse. So we didn't have an opportunity to approve it last time. It is on the agenda this time, and I've not made any changes to that draft job ad since it was last presented to you all. As we're going to be having some discussion about the executive director position this evening, I think it makes sense to reach a determination on whether or not this, and we had some positive feedback last time, but I think it makes sense to adopt the job description first before we make a decision about hiring in that position. And so are there any comments or further discussion on that position description as it's written? If not, a motion's in order if you guys are good to go.
I move approval of the attached job description for the executive director of the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Okay, we have a motion from Mayor Danes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second from Mayor Drew. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. And Rhonda, we do hear you did hear your eye on from online, so thank you for that. Oh, I guess I need to look at you over here, not up there. But thank you,
Mayor Rasmussen.
Mayor Rasmussen online as well. Thank you, you guys, for joining us online, and as well as those who are non-voting members but who are joined or non-voting attendees but joined online. All right. Next up, when we last met, Todd Butler from CBTD, who of course has a position on this board, had mentioned we'd seen on the expense report some software that this organization supports, and asked for a little bit of a primer on what that software does and how it might be able to help with things we're doing. And Todd has agreed to make a presentation to us on that subject this evening.
Great. So I'll make this fairly quick, but just for context, I think there was a question around the demographic side of this, and there are some demographic tools. Really, this is mostly planning software, and then software for us to interact with the community. So I'll kind of explain that as we go, but feel free if you have questions as we're doing this. I'm just gonna try and, I thought it would be good to demonstrate this live to you. So this is mostly a planning software platform. It's on the cloud, so we get access. Jeff has access as well. But typically, just as a refresher, the MPO gets some transit planning dollars that are specific to transit. We've used those for projects in the past, such as our short range transit plan that we've done every 5 years, other planning studies that we've done. And then we approached Jeff a few years back and said, hey, there's this new planning software out there that we think would be helpful for some of the planning projects we're doing. And we went through a demonstration and we decided to use some of the planning dollars that way. So I just brought this up as an example. This is our loop route that we launched back in 2020. And so what this does is, it's planning, right? So I don't want you to get caught up in that it's, we use it as a general guide, and then we can fine tune the numbers as we really get into the details of it. So this is kind of just our initial, how we approach things, but we'll draw out a route. And so you can use these various tools to draw out a route. So we drew out, for example, this loop route. And then what it does is we have some general cost numbers in here that we put in here of what it costs us to build a route, what it's going to cost us to operate that. So you can see down here, it gives us a cost projection. And again, it's a projection. And then as we start to really say, hey, this is something we want to move forward with, then we can really dive into the numbers a little bit deeper. It also shows us, we're looking right now, the things that I'm going to show you with regards to demographic data and whatnot is based on this number that we put in here, which is a quarter of a mile of the stops. So we can adjust this number up to 2 miles away from the stops, and it will give us different information based on that range. And so we can look at that. We typically say within a quarter of a mile, just because that's what most people are willing to walk. But we know that there are some people that walk further than that. We surveyed our riders, and we know there's people that walk as far as a mile and a half. But so you can see that based on that quarter of a mile, we're along this route, we're hitting 14,000 people in the city of Logan. This is specific to Logan because this route's in Logan. 20% of the people are non-white, Hispanic. So these are some of the demographics that we look at when we're looking at poverty might be another thing. So when we look at that, we can pull in jobs from home, essential jobs. And this is all driven off of the census data. So all this information that's coming into this is census data driven, right? So it's updated when the census is updated. But so for example, if we highlight the poverty layer, then you can see this is gonna, and sorry, but that's in the way of the thing there. But so you can see that it's gonna tell us where we're looking at maybe for poverty. So if we're looking at folks that might be transit dependent, for example, that don't have access to a car, in fact, I think that's one of the layers we can look at. Is how many people have access to a car. But so there's lots of different things in here. One of the things that we're currently doing is crosswalking, for example, all of our bus stop infrastructure into this software. So we'll locate all of our shelters, what type of shelter we have there, or maybe we just have a bench there. Again, as we deploy bike stations in your cities, where we might have covered bike storage, things of that nature. And so it gives us a tool that we can just collect all of that information and we can share that with you. This has the ability to share that. So that's kind of how the demographic side of it is used, is it allows us to visually see as we're planning routes where we might want to put bus stops or where we might want to put bus routes. And stop me if you have any questions.
Todd,
please.
So with the new Wolfpack Way road that's going in, if we were to guesstimate on some of the change in growth along that route, similar say to what Four Seasons is or something, would you be able to project along that route not only the access for additional growth right there, but trips by cars that might come, you know, through Hyde Park from other areas and across that route?
So that's a great question. This really isn't a forecasting tool as much as it is a planning tool. The model that Jeff funds and fine tunes, and Jeff can jump in here and correct me, but that's really the forecasting tool that we use. Now we can use information from this to help make sure the forecast has the great base layer it needs, but this isn't a forecasting tool. So
okay, thank you.
We have geographies we call traffic analysis zones. We split the county into 300 of those zones and then try to project employment, housing growth in each of those zones. And you can actually crosswalk those TAS, as we call them, into this. So you can have that as a basis for the demographics of land use. And we're updating that now, that we call it our socioeconomic update.
So this does have that land use in there. for various things, and it has your city zoning in there. We can look at the various zoning requirements based on your cities, and we try to get that updated from your cities as well, so that we try to keep this current when we're developing these plans. But yeah, as a forecasting tool, that's not really the goal. Then we can build timetables off this. Again, it's a planning level. So this is kind of our initial first pass. And then we actually go out and run the routes with buses and make sure that that's really where we get dialed in. But this gives us a good initial look at how things, and we can adjust a lot of metrics in here. What's the average speed? You know, how much layover do we want in a particular spot so that the route is going to function and not be behind? But this is a great, like I said, a great planning tool. One of the things that they've just recently added, and this is the thing that I'm excited about from an standpoint of getting public participation. So this just literally was within the last month that they added this share. And so I sent a link to Jeff's email. And what it does is it looks like this. We can put a custom message in there. I just said, hey, you know, please make comments. But we could put out information that would go out to the public that we could send out to via email addresses, and specifically ask them, hey, we're going to be looking at service in your community. This is, and we can have a tentative route drawn out saying this is a route that we're looking at, or here's two options. And we can push that out to the public. And then what they do is they'll click on that link, and it will bring up for them, that same map, right? And we can show bus stops on here, potential bus stops or anything like that. And then they can say, hey, I want to make a comment. And so they come in here and they say, I want to make a comment right here. And this is a high growth area. Please look at heavy transit or something like that, right? Sorry. And then they save that comment. Let's see if I can close that. Oh, I closed the whole thing. Sorry. I just need to move that over. So anyway, we'll just do test comment. Make it easy. But then they post that. And then what happens is we come back and then we see that this is in real time. So this is something where we could open this up for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, however long we want. And then we can see those comments. And so it's a really good tool that way that I see in the future. Again, we've not deployed this yet because this is brand new, but a way for us to interact with the public in a more robust way. We can still have our public meetings, but a lot of folks, especially with COVID, they're not maybe coming out, but this is a way for them to still participate in the process. I know we just recently did some survey in Providence and River Heights, Millville, and this is a tool that we could use in the future for that type of thing of, hey, go to this website or give us your email. We'll blast you out the information. So that's a resource that we just not had before that I'm excited about from a public input process. So that's just a very, very quick overview. We can also export this and share it with city staff. We can export this and create shape files so that it can be uploaded into your city staff stuff, software as well, or your city staff can send us the data layers, like I said, for zoning or different things, and then we can upload it to the software and as we're planning. So it's a good tool for us to communicate back and forth with the public and with the city staff as well. I know that's a really fast, and I know it's not as much demographic data as maybe you were thinking, but there is quite a bit in here as far as the demographic layers that really are just census data stuff. That we use as more of a planning tool, making sure that we're looking at those types of things. One example is when we put routes into place, we have to do what they call a Title VI analysis. We have to make sure that we're not unfairly providing a higher level service maybe to a more affluent community than a less affluent community. And we have to go through a federal process of doing that and justify that. This actually provides us a tool to do that. The software will go through and look at that. But again, we also know a lot of times, whether it's one car or a poverty thing, that folks that need transit are usually more in line with poverty or not having access to vehicles. And this gives us the ability to to turn on those data layers, if you will, and then look at that, look at how we're planning things. So
you talked about the wealthy versus the less wealthy. Can you do it as a neighborhood that is more apt to use it based on employment or age or so forth? Are there other metrics other than?
Sure. Like I said, there's all of these various things in here. We can look at seniors, we can look at youth, we can look at minorities, household income. I know there's a layer in here about access to cars. We can look at schools, various things. So we can look at a lot of different layers when we're looking at that. One thing that I forgot to show is there's this tool they refer to her as Jane, but what it will also do is, sorry, I'm moving people around here, but it'll